Well, hello, friends. Welcome to the 42nd episode of the Pulse podcast. I am Shay Wilbur, and I'm so excited to be joining you today. And you might see me sitting in this chair and think, well, Pastor Troy, where is Pastor Troy? Well, don't worry. Pastor Troy is actually here, and he is here with a fresh revelation about kingdom, and it is powerful, and I cannot wait to hear the download. Plus, we've got updates because he has been so busy over the past 24 hours and is just about to get even busier. So before we bring in the rest of the crew, Pastor Troy, how are you?
Well, little girl, I'm fine as frog hair. Thank you for asking. I am sitting in a hotel room in Branson, Missouri, and I have been filming with I've been filming with Skywatch, and which has just been incredible. And I actually filmed look at that crew right there.
Wow.
And, we did three shows yesterday, and then I just filmed a whole bunch of stuff. And then whenever I got done with that, we came back here. I got back late last night. I actually have the day off today. So I've been writing in my new novel, and I have been, I woke up this morning at 4:44, and I went, man, that is the Lord. So I just went, I'm going to get up. And I prayed, I sit out in the dark, I busted out this computer and started, I'm about to finish up chapter 9 of my novel.
Wow.
So I'm super excited about that. And then tomorrow I'm going to be, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm filming a whole bunch of shows with my good friend Mondo de la Vega and, all the people over at the Praise the Lord Network. And then I leave there, I drive 2 hours back to Skywatch. And then I'm going to be filming several more shows tomorrow night up there. So everybody's promoting my book, and man, I'm getting the word out that God Almighty speaks through current events. And I'm telling everybody about our trip to Belize last week. And you know what? It's just a great big privilege.
Yeah, it's so exciting hearing. Yesterday, we were able to recap some of the incredible testimonies on the trip. And it's so exciting for all of us to be a part of all the things, you know, whether you go or whether you send, the blessing and the reward is for you. And so that's why it's so important. And that's why we love reminding all of our Pulse family that when you get involved in what we are doing and the work that we're doing in the nations, that reward is for you also. And Pastor, I'm really excited to hear more about some of the stories that really touched your heart in Belize. So I'm sure we'll get to those in a minute.
Well, I saw your show that you guys did yesterday without me, and y'all did a great job. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, all right, good. Boss approved.
Yeah, boss approved, man. Whatever that is worth.
But That's worth a lot. You signed the paycheck, sir.
Well, actually, Leanna signed it.
Well, yeah. So,
you know what, man? With that said, man, you know, Leanna got her PhD over the weekend. She finished her course, so she hasn't graduated yet. But she actually did finish her course. So not only is she Dr. Leanna Brewer, but now, man, she's Dr. Leanna Brewer, PhD.
PhD.
How crazy is that?
Wow. That's a lot of a schooling and a lot of studying. And I have a lot of respect for that.
Too much for me, man. Too much for me. I know what all she's been through to get this done. But a big part of it was she had to actually be the professor of the college to get her PhD. And so it's been really fun to sit in on her classes and I'd be on the other side of the computer. And, you know, she'd be talking to students all over the planet Earth, including a whole lot of students in places like Cambodia and South Korea and all over the Asian countries and Vietnam. A bunch of Vietnamese people were in her Bible study class, and she preached and she taught on the names of God all year. And I would just be sitting across from her, man, just listening, just watching her teach, going, wow, that is amazing. And she told me, jump in. I went, nope, this is all you. I never jumped in one single time. All on her own, I'm telling you, all of it.
Wow, well, that's so awesome. I could just see you in the background, like on the other side of the screen. Like, did it take self-control to not like try to make her laugh? Because that would be my natural inclination if I was there.
Well, yeah, I really have no comment on any of that, but there was all kinds of shenanigans
Okay,
going on.
exactly.
I mean, you guys know me, so
Oh, yeah.
I
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, Pastor,
I was blowing her kisses, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh,
it was fun.
God.
Oh, good. Oh. Well, hey, let's get some of the announcements out of the way, if you're okay with that, Pastor, so that we can get into the meat of the stuff that you're going to share, because I'm so excited to hear about that. We just want to let everyone know, first of all, to comment where you're watching from. Chris, I know you've seen some people on here from all over the country, world.
Yeah. we want to say a special shout out to Judy in Michigan, Mary in Pueblo, Colorado, mm-hmm. Mee Lee in Scranton, what? Pennsylvania, Shirley in Laguna Vista, Texas, and also Pastor Troy, we had BA Mom 818 said she loves your Dolly Parton hat. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, there's not a bigger Dolly Parton fan on the planet Earth than old Troy Brewer. And I have been my whole life, and I love her. And so, yeah, we actually went to the Stampede last night. I'm up here. Yeah, we went to the Dolly Parton Stampede last night, which is just one of the greatest dinner shows on the planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I loved it. And I had my grandson up here with me. I had my mother-in-law with me. And, you know, Leanna's mother is a foster mom that has raised over 300 kids.
Oh, my. And
a lot of Leanna's siblings that are foster siblings are all grown up now, and they're in their 40s and 50s, and many of them are special needs. And we actually have a couple of them up here with us. And we had so much fun with them last night, man. What I do when I'm around them, I'm like, so hey, Elena's like, Troy, don't let them eat whatever they want to eat. Just we listen, okay? Because they will lose their minds. I'm like, okay, no problem. Then I'm like, what do y'all want to eat? And anything they tell me, I'll go get it. And also too, we've it's impossible to keep a schedule with them, you know, because they're very spontaneous, you know. Leanna would be like, okay, Troy, we're going to do this and this and this. And I'd say, okay. And then I would turn to one of her foster siblings. I'd say, what do y'all want to do? And they would say, we want to go to Starbucks. And I'd say, okay, we go to Starbucks. And they're like, what do you want to do now? We need cotton candy. Okay, let's go get cotton candy. And I'm just driving around doing whatever they wanted me to do. So it's a lot of fun, man. And it's a great joy. It really is.
Oh, so cool. Even on your days off, I feel like you're still doing ministry in one form or another, whether it's to your family or, yeah.
Do you know that last night when I was at the Stampede last night, I was just sitting there and somebody threw a piece of ice at me and hit me. And I just went, wow, somebody just chunked ice at me. And then boom, it hit me again a little bit later. And then one hit Barrett that was sitting next to me. And I said, dude, who's chunking ice at me? And this guy, man, stood up and introduced himself. And he said, man, I knew that was you. And I said, do I know you? And he said, nope. He said, I watch everything that you guys do. Aww. I love your ministry. I followed you to Belize last week. And I mean, it was really cool. So he's like, hey man, you got to meet my wife. And he's like, we support your ministry. Oh, we're part of ODX. And so they're probably watching right now.
That's cool. Well, hello to whoever it was that threw the piece of ice. Pastor Troy said, I'm glad it was small.
Can you imagine, Shay, okay, like saying, okay, I support Kenneth Copeland. I see him and I start chunking ice at him, you know?
No.
I don't think that works with any other pastor.
Only you. Yeah. And I'm glad.
I totally love that.
That just shows you that he's like really our people, though. If he knew he could do
right.
that.
That means he knows us.
Yeah. Oh, right. Awesome. Well, listen, if you're watching right now and you want to know more about us and want to know more about what we do, because if you're new here, listen, we do this, we do media, we do church so that we can rescue kids all over the world. And we have rescued and raised over 11,000 kids in the past 30 years. Pastor Troy and Leanna have been on the front lines doing this, rescuing kids, whether it's in Cambodia, Nepal, India, Mexico, Belize, Africa. And so all of these things we do so that we can rescue kids. And if that is something that is near and dear to your heart, get involved. Call 877-413-0888. Call that number on your screen and say, hey, I want to get involved. And we have some really cool incentives for you guys that we're starting today. And we're going to be rolling these out over the next month. And we'll talk in depth about why the dollar amount for some of these in a minute. But if you call that number, 877-413-0888, and you give $50 or more, you will get a signed copy of Numbers That Prophesy, Pastor Troy's book, along with a workbook which is really incredible. And this is the book that he's been promoting right now. If you give $300, you can get a signed book and two tickets to the New Beginnings Conference. If you call that number and give $1,000, you will get four tickets to our New Beginnings Conference and a Stage 3 ODX membership for a year. Guys, wow. That's access to all of our content for a year. That is incredible. And listen, if you have it on your heart to sow $5,000 into this ministry, and we're going to tell you why $5,000 in just a minute, you will get a lifetime membership to ODX.TV. That's access to all of our conferences, all of the things that we do, all the media that we put out. That will be literally at the click of a button on your phone 24/7 if you have it on your heart to give $5,000 or more. So, Pastor, you know, there are many projects that you have in front of you that this money goes towards. And before we get into your kingdom revelation, which I'm excited to hear, I want you to share about the boy in Belize, if you're okay with it, because this is a huge thing that I know is on your heart, at the front of your mind. Guys, we have to raise the funds to help this kid.
Amen.
Yeah, friends, so let's get together and let's all rescue this kid. Let me tell you about this little boy. When I went down, there he is right there. And isn't he just beautiful? This guy... His name is Daniel. He's a 12-year-old little boy. And as soon as I got to Belize last week, I met him. And my good friend Johnny Lightning is working with him. Johnny Lightning rescues special needs kids. And we have lots of special... When I say special needs, I'm talking about every kind of mental and emotional major malfunction that you can imagine, and also physical. And so we rescue kids. It's like a prophetic marker to us. When we see a kid that doesn't have an arm or doesn't have a leg, we know that we have a special assignment for them. Also, if they're mentally disabled or anything like that. Well, this little boy is perfect mentally. There's not anything going on with him. He's got his act together better than I do. Mm-hmm. But he, at 9 years old, he started having backaches in a really bad way. His mama took him to the doctor, and they finally determined after a year of going to the doctor that, he has cancer in his spine, at the very lower part of his spine. So this last year, he went in to go have surgery. They went in to look at it. And, you know, it's Central America, and the family was just not informed. I'm just going to put it like that. They were, you know, they just were not informed. So they were thinking it was going to be a 2-hour surgery. He was in there for like 14 hours or some crazy thing. And nearly died. And when he came out, they had actually amputated half of his hip and all of his leg, of course. So literally half of his hip is gone. I mean, half of it. I've never seen that before. I've never experienced that. I've seen stuff with kids all over the planet Earth, but I've never seen this before. It's like, wowzers. And so I asked him about it. I said, what happened to your body, man? And he said, well, they put me to sleep and I woke up and it was all gone. And I'm just man. So this 12-year-old little boy, they also, after they did the surgery, they said, we removed as much as we could, but it didn't do any good. He's going to die. And they just pronounced death over him. And then they sent him home. Like, why would you do that? Why would you mutilate a child's body like that? And then say, well, you know, it's not going to do any good anyway. You know, I have no idea. I haven't been a part of any of that. It seems a great injustice to me. But with that said, his parents, we are working with them. And guys, we're believing God for that little boy's healing in every single way. And we prayed for him. And friends, I'm telling you, the Spirit of the living God moved. It was incredible. The whole atmosphere of the room shifted. The mama and the daddy and his big brother that's 15 years old. I mean, everybody in the room was bawling just because the power of God fell in such a great way. And I'm truly believing that he is healed of that terrible cancer that has threatened his life. Now that I've said that, the house that he lives in is up against the wall of the school that he hasn't been able to go to in more than a year. And he wants to go back to school so bad and see his friends. Now, he doesn't let his friends see him in the condition he is in. He is very shy about the way that he looks. And so what he wants to do is he wants a prosthetic leg. Now, I don't know that they can even attach this leg to his hip. But it doesn't matter to him. He wants a leg because he wants to go back to school. He wants to wear pants, and he doesn't want all of his, 12-year-old friends to know that he's missing a big part of his body and his entire leg. He just wants it to be about, yeah, I'm in a wheelchair now, so what? It's okay. And we explained all that to me, and I said, okay, man, you know what? I'm going to get you a leg. So I would like for people to give today and to help us to get this little boy a leg. And let me tell you what it's going to cost. It's going to cost around $30,000 for this leg. And it's also going to cost $7,500 for us to put him at the very top of the list to be able to get this leg. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. And I know that somebody might actually say, well, what good is it, if he's had a death sentence spoken on? Dude, listen, Adam put a death sentence on all of us. Mm-hmm. We've all had a death sentence on us. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one that actually is the number of our days. So I don't care about any of that. I'm just like, I don't care if this little boy wants a leg. I say, let's get him one. Amen. And it's going to cost at least $37,500 is what that's going to cost. And these people are poor people. And I'm talking about they have very little opportunity. And imagine this too, Shay, man, the mama and daddy have not been able to, they have to take care of this kid 24 hours a day. And, you can just imagine the kind of care that he requires and the constant pain that he's been in. And, without a rehab center down there in Belize, without any of those things, the mom and the dad and the big brother are the ones that take care of him. So I'd like to do this as much for that little boy. I would also like to do this for his parents. And I think that we need to build a ramp into his house. I need to make that house like wheelchair accessible, which I don't know. I think I could do the whole thing for like 20 grand. And why not? Why not do all this? So we're asking people to give towards this. I come across this stuff every day. But this little boy, and by the way, we say yes every day. But this little boy, I'm just telling you, man, this little boy got my heart. He is such a sweet kid. He is a good boy. I want to see that little boy go back to school and be able to be among his peers and have the dignity that a child needs to have and know that it was Jesus that did this for him. It was Jesus. Jesus is the one that did this for him. So if we all pull together, man, we can make this thing happen in very short order.
Yeah. And guys, it's so easy to get involved. You can just call the number on your screen, 877-413-0888, and give and just say, hey, listen, I just heard the story that Pastor Troy shared. I want to help save this boy. Maybe like Pastor Troy said, you have it on your heart to sow $7,500 to get him on the list to get a leg. Maybe you want to give towards that prosthetic or towards, outfitting his home. Listen, any amount will help us. And I just love the idea of our Pulse community, like banding together here and doing this. Like, it's exciting for us to all be doing this. And I believe that the Lord is moving on people's hearts right now.
Yeah. We got some great things here too for Daniel, like Shay said at the top, like if you get 50, we'll send you a signed copy of Numbers That Prophesy and the workbook. For $300, we'll sign the book, send you two tickets to the New Beginnings Conference next year. $1,000, you get four tickets, stage three for a year. $5,000 is a lifetime membership, four tickets to the conference as well. But can I also tell you there's another opportunity to help rescue kids, and that is the bear hunt that is coming up. And I know Rebecca and Pastor Ryan are huge bear hunters, right? Like, you guys are big into this.
I don't think Troy wants to take me to that one.
Troy might not want to take Rebecca on a bear hunt. I don't know.
I would not take Rebecca on a bear hunt. She's such a chicken, man. She's a brave girl. She's one of my daughters. But
I would be taking care of you, technically. I would be helping you. I would want to help you in anything.
You're going to take care of the bear after he shoots it?
No, I'll be in the car holding his coffee or something.
I want to jump right back to this thing and tell you, man, listen, we can do this. And if we have $7,500 come in today, I'll send the money today. I'll send it today and put that little boy at the top of the list. And we will get a leg. Now, again, I have in that little boy's mind, I think he thinks that he'll be able to walk on it. And we talked about it. I'm not going to tell that little boy he ain't going to walk. I'm a man of faith and I'm a man of God. But I also look at, I'm like, it's really not about him being able to walk. It's about his fellow peers and those other 12-year-old children he grew up with in that small Belizean town. Yeah. that they don't make a big deal out of how his body is messed up. Mm. And so I say we just do that. That looks like redemption to me. And I'm saying, man, we just make it happen. Come on, guys,
let's
help us
out. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Pulse so family. Good. I mean, look at that little boy.
He's so sweet.
Daniel, right?
Is it Daniel, yeah, Pastor? Daniel.
That's correct. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daniel. Let's help Daniel. Let's band together.
Let us show them all the different ways that they can give.
Yep.
Can you do that?
Yep. Yeah, you can call. Rebecca, why don't you tell everyone?
Yeah, so you could call 877-413-0888, or you could give online on odx.tv. You could mail us at Troy Brewer Ministries, P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. You could go to troybrewer.com, click give, and then there will be a lot of people are commenting on the ODX chat saying what lower thirds. I mean, there's a drop down. Click on Troy Brewer Ministries, and we will make sure that goes towards Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be able to look today, you know, yes, and see that. And so just, you know, we'll be able to look here. Again, this is something I want to do this week. So we're going to be spending money out of that account. So whatever you guys put in there, it will be so helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so good.
And Pastor, if you're okay, can we give a shout out to the bear hunt? Because that is, you know, when people go on these things. No, but listen.
It is, yeah.
Pastor, we don't have to, but I'm just saying, when people go on these things and do things at Redemption Ranch, the money that we raise from these is another way that we can help rescue kids.
The other Daniels that are out there.
Yeah, it's true.
There's other kids out there that...
There's a Daniel every day. Somewhere.
Exactly.
Literally.
We hear these stories on a regular basis, and we need to take action. We're not going to stand by. God brought them into our sphere of influence for a reason, and we're going to take care of them, period.
Yeah, no, I mean, when have you guys ever seen me say no?
Yeah,
we have don't. Y'all ever seen me say no one time?
No, sir.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Really, really? I mean, Rebecca, no. You've been with me, what, like 11 years now?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen me say no?
Nope. You always tell me yes, so.
No, and I will even say.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like you help everyone.
Listen, and I will say this. I saw Pastor. We were in a scenario a couple months ago, and there was a woman there who we knew. She's been a part of our group, and... you know, she was in need, and I'm trying to be really general because, you know, she might be watching. And Pastor Troy literally came up to me and handed me a wad of cash and said, listen, I know that woman's in need, and put it in an envelope and don't tell her
give it to her
and give it to her. Like Pastor Troy says, yes, whether you're hearing about the story or not. And that's something that we really stressed yesterday on the show is like, listen, whether we're talking about Daniel, whether we're talking about the pregnancy center in Belize that we committed to $5,000 a month supporting the pregnancy center in Belize, whether you hear about these stories or not, Pastor Troy, we are saying yes. Pastor Leanna, Spark, TBM, like we are saying yes to things all around the world every single day. And so that's why we drive it home, and we tell you all the time, like, guys, we literally can't do this without you. And we believe that God is going to move on your heart to sow into what we're doing, because this is good soil. You know, one of the things we talked about yesterday was discernment. And if you have a discerning spirit, then you will know this is good soil. Like I've been here a year and I've been so moved. Chris, you've been here, like 6 months, and I've never seen people who actually do the work like this house.
Yeah. And if you're watching, you know, and you're thinking like, well, how can I get my friends involved? All you have to do is hit that share button. If you're watching on Facebook, you can copy that link on YouTube, get the word out. So it's like, hey, I've done everything I can do. I need to get my friends on this. I need to get my family. Yep. It's an easy way to do it. We call it being a media missionary. So you know what? You may live far away. You may never come down to the Joshua Food Bank. You may never go to Belize, but you know what? You can share it on your feed, and your friends, your influence could make a difference in Daniel's life and continue ministry all over the world by just clicking a little button on your screen.
That's so good.
Hey, what, you know, it's 24 minutes into this. So how about I jump off into my word and give that
Let's
to
everybody, get her
fired up, and then we'll come back and we'll visit some of these things again. Are y'all okay with that?
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I was going to preach on Sunday that I was not able to, because we had a sound disaster that took place at Open Door Church on Sunday. And I was literally pulling in and got this word that, hey, we've lost all sound and lighting in the building. And I was like, when you say lost, I mean, what does that mean? And they started telling me, I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you what, just tell everybody to meet me in there. And I walked in walked straight to meet with Chris and with Shay and with the team. And they told me what the problem was. And we understood what it, you know, what had happened. And we're like, okay, I just told them, I said, y'all just go find some temporary PA and act like, you know, this is a middle school gymnasium today. And we're about to do a concert for the seventh graders and put up a TV system. And I know all about that. You know what? We will just worship Jesus. Amen. And we will have a blast. And so we did that. And it was a very, very special service. It's the funnest service I've done in a long time. And it was like, look, we can't do all the things that we planned on doing because we were going to use technology to tell the story. But hey, we're all living this story. So I just sat up there with my guitar and with a whole bunch of praise and worship warriors. And I ended up doing that. But the message that I was going to speak was, I was going to talk about the kingdom, because one of the things I really realized last week when we were in Belize was that everywhere that we go, whether, you know, whatever country it is, whether it's the food bank, if it's something local or if it's something far away, one of the things that I love about all of our teams that they all do so well is everybody just brings the kingdom. We're just kingdom people. And mm-hmm. We don't really care how we bring the kingdom. We want to show the world what it looks like once Jesus shows up. And that is exactly what the kingdom is all about. And I was thinking about it a lot, and I was talking to Pastor Daryl about it. And when he was taking me back to the airport, and again, we kept stopping and picking up hitchhikers and all this stuff on the way back and forth, you know, to the airport. And we were talking to them, just knowing, hey man, the kingdom needs to come here. And listen, the kingdom needs to come to you. And I think that it's really sad. I also think it's very alarming that most of Christianity understands what salvation is, but they do not understand what the kingdom is. And I would like to clarify some of that and say, it's time for the body of Jesus to stand up and to be kingdom people. So is it okay with y'all if I go off into that?
Please do. We're taking notes already, Pastor.
All right. So Pastor Ryan, also see, brother, that you are there. Man of God, it's so good to see you, man.
Got a full pin. Congratulations on being married to a doctor. That's really impressive.
Isn't that cool, man?
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. So I'm very, very, very happy about that. Yeah, she's and you guys know what a good girl she is. I just love her so much. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very proud of her. I sure am. All right. Well, I'm going to get off into this. So you guys know the story about the rich young ruler that is in Matthew chapter 19. And if anybody's got your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to Matthew 19. I'm just going to run through this very quickly. And then I'm going to focus on a key part of this. And so the story goes down like this. This is how Matthew says it. And by the way, I'm going to tell you that if Matthew is talking about the kingdom, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. Mark, Luke, and John call it the kingdom of God. All right. And that's also significant. And there's 162 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the word kingdom shows up. And so it's like the kingdom, 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 the kingdom. And you just go, that was 8 or 9 times that I just said. The New Testament, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have 162 times that it says the kingdom. So this is like the whole message of Jesus was the kingdom. And what he accomplished at the cross was not only access to salvation, but it was also access to the kingdom for all the world.
Yeah.
The Bible says the world was reconciled unto the Father at the cross of Jesus Christ. And the word reconciled actually means, the word reconciliation there actually means the removal of all hostility, which means heaven can begin to invade anybody's earth now. So to steal a phrase from Brother Bill Johnson, heaven invading earth, right? Okay, so Matthew 19, it says, and behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Man, there's so many things wrong with that question, but it also shows the mentality of non-kingdom people. Okay, hey, I've got to have something to bring to this table that we can do an exchange. I'll bring whatever it is that you want me to bring, and then you bring eternal life to me. That'll be awesome. And he said to him, why do you call me good? Now, I love it when Jesus answers. And I want to tell you, out of all the questions, and I don't remember the number of questions. It's a huge number. I'll think of it here in just a second. Nope. I don't think I'm going to think of it. So, but out of all the questions, I should say this, out of most of the time that Jesus answers somebody, he very rarely answers. He typically answers with a question. And so he answers with this question. He says, well, hey, let's talk about this. How come you call me good? Because nobody is good but one. Stop right there. What's one of my favorite names of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one. The one. And you see it in the book of Revelation over and over and over again. You see it, you know, Shay, you know that whole thing where rejoice, O Israel, for the Lord your God is one, right? So Echad, that whole thing is, so exactly how do you guys say it?
Echad. Echad. Echad.
It's been rawr.
Good.
That's perfect.
So he says to him, no one is good but one, that is God. But if you want eternal life, well, then keep the commandments. There you go. I mean, if you're going to bring an exchange, yep. And you want eternal life, then all you got to do is keep the commandments. Good. Nobody can do that. And he said, well, which ones? That's another great question. Like, okay, tell me which ones I got to keep, because obviously you don't expect me to keep all 613, right? And then he said to him, well, Jesus says, okay, well, I'll just make it easy for it. You shall not murder. How you doing there? I'm doing good. Okay. You shall not commit adultery. I don't know. The guy doesn't answer. He says, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And then he says this, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You need to be self-aware that you need to put other people before you. And the young man said to him, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. Yeah, according to his standard, he's kept those things. And then he says, what do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, well, if you want to be perfect, and perfect in this case means literally all the way. All right. Well, if you want to do this thing all the way, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Now, here's what's interesting. There's a lot of interesting things about this, but out of the 153 people that you can find that Jesus leads into the kingdom, from the very first person all the way to the last person, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 153 of those. Same number of fish in the net. Hallelujah. He doesn't tell them all the same thing. He doesn't lead them all into a sinner's prayer. Because frankly, not everybody, there's some people that he's like, there's one guy that he talks theology with. And you know who that is? It's Nicodemus.
Hmm.
The rest of them, he doesn't do that with. And so the Bible says that Jesus went about teaching in the synagogues and preaching the kingdom to the masses. So among the masses, he's just bringing the kingdom. When he's on the one-on-one, he's teaching salvation. But among the masses, he ain't teaching salvation. The Sermon on the Mount is not a salvation message. It is a kingdom message. Mm-hmm. And so like, whoa, we have totally missed this in Christianity so much. And because of that, we think that everywhere we go, it's our job to lead them in a sinner's prayer. Because number one, we think that it's our job to make sure that everybody is saved. And number two, every single one of us denominationally have a different idea of what you've got to do to be saved, exactly like this guy in the Bible right here at. Everybody has something different. What do you got to do to be saved? Well, you got to be a good person, and you have to say the printer's. You have to say the sinner's prayer. What else you got to do? Well, you got to go to church. You definitely have to be baptized, and you have to this, that. Okay, that's what this guy's asking. What must I do to be saved? And sadly, we approach the world the way that the rich young ruler approached Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" We tell them, "You have to do this to be saved." Jesus didn't do that. Jesus did not do that. He did not do that. What Jesus did was he went around preaching and teaching the kingdom and that people would enter into it. Now, again, we tend to think that that simply means you're saved. No, listen, you get saved by entering into the kingdom. But the kingdom has to come to you, and then you enter into it. And it's our job to bring the kingdom to everybody. So the young man said, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus said, okay, well, then here's what you got to do for you. Go and sell everything that you have. Everything. I want you to go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. This is a money guy. So he makes it easy for him. He says, look, I want you to go and sell everything that you have. And I want you to take that money, and then I want you to give to the poor. I want you to do this big financial transaction, since you're into transactions. But then since you don't have anywhere else to go, come and follow me. But then it says, the young man heard the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus says his disciples, and catch this, assuredly I say unto you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says. He's not saying it's hard for a rich man to be saved. It's no more harder for a rich man to be saved than it is for a poor man to be saved. Jesus is the one that saves us. But it is very hard for a rich man that has his world to submit to the world of the kingdom. So when I see this verse, one of the things that I recognize is that the kingdom is not when you get saved. The kingdom is the environment, it is the atmosphere, and it is the culture where people get saved. Yeah. So the kingdom, it is the, so like, okay, so the goal of every single Christian, as we know, Matthew 6:33, is to seek ye first the kingdom. That's our number one priority, is to be kingdom seekers. We're looking for the kingdom. We're looking for opportunities to bring the kingdom. Jesus went around everywhere he went and said, look, there's the kingdom. Look, there's the kingdom. Look, the kingdom looks just like that. The kingdom looks just like that. And he's going around preaching the kingdom. And we totally miss it reading the story of King Jesus. And that even Jesus himself said in all the themes of his parables, the kingdom. Righteous people are called the sons of the kingdom. That's Matthew 13, verse 38. So we've totally missed this whole thing that we're supposed to bring the kingdom. Now, here's what I can tell you. When I am on these mission trips, like, you know, I've been to a dozen different countries already, and including Ireland and Uganda and Qatar and Mexico, and I've been to Belize, and I've been all over the place. And I can tell you that what I find in our teams everywhere is we just bring the kingdom. So what would it look like if Jesus had his way in this little boy's life? He would get a leg. He would be healed. He would get a leg. He would know that it comes from Jesus. He'd be restored to his community, to his friends. He would have a house that was acceptable and had the accommodations that they needed. The family would not have to listen to him cry all night long. And like, I'm looking for the kingdom to come into this kid's life, because this kid will fall in love with King Jesus. But Pastor Troy, are you not preaching Jesus to him? Of course I'm preaching Jesus to him, but I am demonstrating the kingdom as Jesus did everywhere he went. And it's in that environment. It's in that atmosphere. It's in that culture where people get saved and transformed. And if you don't bring the kingdom and you bring a salvation message, you create another religion.
That's so good. I mean, I've heard it said and taught a lot of times that your gift will make room for you. And a lot of times when we help these people, that gift, that sacrifice that we make makes room for Jesus to enter the conversation so that lives can be not just transactionally changed, but spiritually transformed.
Well, the kingdom is when the king has dominion, kingdom, when the king has dominion. So it's no longer about the disgrace of this child. He's disgraced. He can't believe his body's been mutilated, and he just can't believe it. Okay, the kingdom is when the king has dominion. So when the king has dominion, and again, religious people are going to say, well, Jesus always has dominion. No, he does not. That's why Jesus says, go into all the kingdoms of this world and preach the kingdom. And by the way, since the time of John the Baptist until today, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and a violence taken by force, which means this, you have to fight to bring it. Man. It's a fight, and it's got wins and it's got losses. And we're talking about, you know, the authoritative reign of God among men. We have to fight for that. And if we do not fight for that, then the kingdom doesn't come. We have to. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Pastor Ryan, are you listening to all this, buddy?
All of it.
What do you think?
Man, there's a lot of great things in there. The part from John that stands out, Pastor, is whenever Jesus is having that exchange with Pilate, who is a ruler in an earthly kingdom. And Jesus flat out tells him, he says, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were so, they would be trying to keep all this from happening. So he points that out. You talked about the number 153 and the number of fish. That's one of my favorite stories. Pastor Troy, if you and I went fishing and we caught 153 fish, we would have to split that three ways, wouldn't we? We would get a third. We would get a third. Whoever's boat we borrowed would get a third. And whoever's nets we borrowed would get a third. And those nets held. So it's a great testimony that when those 153 fish came in, that was also believed how many different species of fish there were in the world. So when Jesus brought in 153 fish, it covered all species. And how many people did you say that Jesus directly led to the Lord? 153.
The thief on the cross being the last one.
Yeah, I think this kingdom message that you're carrying right now, I think it sounds like it's going to sound exclusive to some people, but anybody who wants in that's excited about being a part of the kingdom, now's the time to join. You and I talked yesterday, the next 10 days are palindrome days. So this is a great time for you to be sharing this message and people that are willing to receive it.
Tell everybody what you mean by that, buddy, because that you were actually the one that showed me that. So I want to give you credit for it.
Go ahead. We were looking yesterday, and so May the 20th, 2025, it's the same forwards as it is backwards. And this next stretch of days all the way until the 29th of this month is the same forwards and backwards. So Pastor Troy's talked about this. When palindromes are happening, it is the Lord. Basically, it's red lights and all kinds of lights, like pay attention to what's going on. This is from Barrett's Taco Cat dream that he's talked about. Anytime the Lord's speaking to you in palindromes, it's a big call to attention that now's a great time to invest. Y'all have talked about the opportunities to invest into the ministry. Mm-hmm. If the Lord's prompting you to do something, now is receive this as your brother in Christ. I'm just encouraging you. Now's a great time to plant. Now's a great time to respond. Now's the great time to do something that 5 years from now, you'll look back and go, I remember whenever I did that. So Pastor Troy, I think this is a super exciting time. You know, and you talked about the world gave that kid a diagnosis. They gave him a diagnosis. They said, we can't do anything for you. That's the world's kingdom.
That's the world's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And here's what they can do. They can mutilate your body, and then they can put you on morphine. Mm.
You're right. Yeah. That's not kingdom.
This little boy was not a drug addict before all this happened. Yeah. And what they offered him was morphine. Yeah. And that's been a whole nother thing. And so that his parents have been trying to get him off of this morphine, and oh my gosh, you know, and it's like, okay, well, we're helping you with all that. And so what Jesus offers and what it's the model prayer. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. You're literally inviting heaven to invade earth. And then that model prayer actually ends in verse 13. It says, and do not lead us into temptation, which literally means God, whenever we ask God not to lead us into temptation, it literally means lead us away from places we will fail. It's like, God, I'm following you, so lead me set me up for success. Okay. But deliver us from evil. And then it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
So Jesus's model prayer is all about, listen, make this about God and make this about his kingdom. And then of course, whenever Jesus, you know, was preaching, you know what he preached? You know what he preached? Matthew 3:2, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10:7, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. And then he told us in Matthew 10:7, you go and preach.
That's right.
Repent. It means this, get ready for a change. Yeah. The kingdom has come.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
That's what it means. So whenever we stop on the way from one outreach to another or from one rescue home to another. We're going to go rescue some kid. We're going to go rescue some girl. And we see a family on the side of the road, and they live in a little mud hut or some little wood shack. We got a bunch of groceries. We stop, we get out, we fill up their house with groceries and say, I got good news. The kingdom has come to you today. Amen. The Father sees you.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Lord. The Father sees you. He could have told us to stop anywhere. We could have been anywhere, but man, the Father sees you. Listen, get ready for a change, because the kingdom has come to you today. And there is none of those people who refuse to pray with us. None of those people. So repent is when you own the impact and you just say, this changes everything. That's when you repent, when you say, whoa, dude, this changes absolutely everything. That's what the word repent means. So we have to, as the body of Jesus, impact people in full demonstration of the heart of Jesus in such a way where they go, this changes everything. Yeah, it does. That's called repentance when everything changes. And like, what's happened? The kingdom has come. So the King James way to say that is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Wow. That is so good.
That's so revelation.
Good. Wow.
Yeah. I love this stuff. And that's why, you know, and I mean, you know, we've got, you know, there's been a lot of people that have disagreed with me on this. You know, Troy, is it really necessary for you guys to throw out candy to kids on the way to your home? Yeah, why not? Is it really? Okay, how much salvation can a soccer ball bring? Are you kidding me? The kingdom has come. Kids that are out there rolling around bags that they have wadded up together, and that's their soccer ball, and you give them a brand spanking new awesome soccer ball, or a bunch of them, as we tend to do, and you go, you know what? Jesus sees you out here on this playground. The kingdom has come today. Yeah. And I promise you, in the context of that, you can pray for kids and they get healed. You see tremendous breakthroughs. Like, why? Because the kingdom is the environment, the atmosphere, and the culture of heaven. And when you bring that, all the things that come with that go with that. And that's why the Bible says that signs, miracles, and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. We think it's the gospel of salvation. No, it's the gospel of the kingdom.
And then those little boys and girls, when they see that soccer ball, when they see that leg, they're always going to remember that, hey, Jesus saw me.
Yeah.
He saw me from thousands of miles away, from people that were just, you know, scrolling on YouTube, ran across a podcast or a sermon. All of a sudden, man, God put it on my heart. I'm going to make a difference in this little boy's life. And every time he looks at that, he's going to know that God heard his cry, heard his prayer, and made it a practical and real difference.
Amen. So good. So you know what? Before we go behind the veil, because I'm going to unpack a whole bunch more of this. And before we go behind the veil, let me just say to everybody, man, that is watching, and say this to you. Listen, get yourself in a place today to where you own the impact of how God has moved in your life, how that he has not forgotten you, and how that he has helped you and blessed you. He saved you, he's healed you, and say, this changes everything. I can't live the same way I used to live. Yeah. I can't walk the same walk that I used to walk. See, that's repentance. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry, and then salvation being you say the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. Although I'm very happy for everybody that says, okay, I'm sorry, and I'm ready to submit and say the sinner's prayer. Repentance is when you say this changes everything, and salvation is when you submit to King Jesus having complete dominion over your life. Mm-hmm. And so it's our job to bring the kingdom. If we bring the message of salvation without bringing the kingdom, we are simply creating another religion.
Yeah. So, yes. So good.
All right. There you go. So I'm gonna quit right there before we go behind the veil. And I want to invite everybody from this hotel room in Branson, Missouri, in between filming. I would like to invite everybody to help me help this little boy, Brother Daniel, to bring the kingdom to his house. That his mama, though she's been through 2 years of unbelievable hell, I'm gonna say this to you guys. This is what's real. That little boy's daddy told me that recently as a month ago, he was up crying all night long because he's in such pain, and he asked his daddy, "Please take me to the river and drown me."
Oh, that's so sad.
Ugh. That's what he told me, right there in front of his. The boy was sitting right there. He's like, sometimes he hurts so bad, he asked me to take him to the river and to drown him. And I just told him, I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. I cannot imagine. And then I told him, I said, do you know what? I'm believing everything is changing today because the kingdom has come.
Right.
Amen. It's a miracle I'm down here, and not that I'm any big deal. It's just that I'm here right now and the kingdom is within me. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom is within you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. So I'm like, I got good news, man. The kingdom is here.
Yeah.
I brought the king with me. And man, we're going to pray right now. We're going to believe God for that. And so I would like to finish that. I would like to see this thing fully redeemed and everything. I want to see this little boy healed. And again, and that's a fight. You got to understand, man, when it's the kingdom, it's not automatic. There is a fight for it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And man, you have wins, you have losses, you get bruises, you get your eyes beat shut sometimes. And sometimes you wipe all the opposition out. It is a fight, but man, I'm in and I'm asking everybody here to get in this fight. Not only help me with this little boy, but like, you know, the 15-year-old girl that I talked to last week that we just rescued, she's got three kids. She's 15 years old. She's got three kids. She has been a slave, and we have to see this thing all the way through. We have to, you know, it's going to take years. We got to set her up. We got to set her children up. And this is what we do so well is we bring the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking everybody, please call the number on the screen and say, I'm in. And I want to call this number, or I want to send a check to this address that is on the screen right now and just go, man, this is, there you go. And just go, man, I've got a check. I want to help you, Pastor Troy. I want to help bring the kingdom. And God's not mocked. A man sows what he reaps. You know, you need the kingdom in your house. You need the kingdom in your family. You need the kingdom and all that you have. Sow into this selflessly, and let's selflessly change these people's lives in the name of King Jesus.
Amen. That's so good, Pastor. It's exciting because I believe this is going to happen for him. I believe this kid's his story is getting completely rewritten.
Amen.
In the coming weeks. Like, and it's cool that we played a part in that. And it's from a simple yes. It's from a simple, yeah, we're going to bring the kingdom to this little boy. And I love that. I think sometimes as believers, we overcomplicate things. We think, well, we got to have the right message, or we have to have the right words, or I'm not educated, or I don't know how to preach the gospel. Well, just be the kingdom. And I love that. It's so inspiring to hear you talk about this. So I'm excited to go behind the veil and have you unpack it a little bit more. If you're watching us somewhere that is not on ODX, then that means the show is going to end here for you. But listen, it's the perfect time for you to join us on ODX.TV as a stage two or stage three partner, guys. When you do that, you are helping us rescue more kids. And as a bonus, you get access to our content 24/7 on ODX.TV. So it's a small fee to become a member there, a small monthly fee. And that money is going towards helping us do this to the nations, bring the kingdom of Jesus to the earth every single day. So thank you for all those who partner with us. And again, if you're watching us on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you're watching, if it's not ODX, we will see you next week. We've got two guests next week. It's going to be a great week, and we'll be talking more about that at a later time. But man, you guys do not want to miss the Pulse next week. And hey, don't forget, this Friday, May 23rd, Pastor Troy's single, Here I Am, is going to be released on Apple Music and Spotify. Pastor, how does that feel? You have a single being released.
That's pretty daggum cool.
Look at that picture.
That's really cool. And it sounds so good. I mean, it you know, when I say it sounds so good, I'm not talking about I sound so good. I'm talking about our professional teams of great musicians have gone through. They've totally remastered the whole thing. And man, it's just a great mix. So this coming Friday, you'll be able to get this on Apple Music. You'll be able to get this on Spotify.
Yep.
And I hope that there's a million downloads of this thing.
Amen. Yeah. Let's go. Right. I love it. I believe it. So make sure you make a note. Remind yourself. Set a reminder right now to download it on Friday. And don't worry, we'll be reminding you. If you follow us on any social media platform,
we'll
be reminding you of that too. Okay. So at that, guys, let's go behind the veil. Pastor, are you good with that?
Yeah, man. I want to tell everybody, come out and meet me at the Open Door Food Bank on Saturday. We're going to be giving away, 100,000 pounds of food to 3,000 to 4,000 people like we have been now for 35 years. And again, we're going to be bringing the kingdom. We're going to be bringing the kingdom, man. And by the way, I want to tell you this. It takes hard work to bring the kingdom. It takes hard work. It doesn't take hard work, you know, to bring a salvation message. It takes hard work to bring the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be out there working hard and changing people's lives and feeding people and loving people. And it's going to be amazing. And then Sunday, I'll be back at Open Door Church. It's Memorial Day weekend at Open Door. And I'm going to be preaching on the things that we have to remember. We have to remember certain things. And Memorial Day is a great day to teach that kind of a message. So come out and join us out at Open Door Church.
Yes, yes. It's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend. So thank you all for joining us. And as you can see, not only are we doing work in the nations, but we're doing work right here. So definitely for in the area, we hope to see you at the food bank this weekend and at church on Sunday. And hey, at church tonight too. You can come on over if you're really close. You can make it over to church tonight. Wednesday night, we're going to have service here. It's going to be incredible. Pastor John Arroyo is speaking and he's our resident our resident Green Beret, no biggie. You know, we've got a Green Beret.
No big deal. Shot to pieces. At the Fort Hood massacre, had his throat blown out, and then God Almighty miraculously healed him. He will be preaching from the same throat that he received a 45 bullet through. Lord. And you want to see a miracle? If you're like, I've never seen a miracle, come out to Open Door tonight and hear my good friend, Pastor John Arroyo. I want to say one more thing, man, before we go to stage, before we go behind the veil, and then I'll close and say this. I know that there's going to be some $5,000 givers in this, and I know that we're going to raise this $7,500 that we need to put him at the top of the list to get that little boy's leg. I know that we got to do that. And I just want to I want to remind you guys and just say this, man, look, what else are we going to do if we don't do this kind of stuff? This is the ministry. This is the kingdom. This is what we do. And I want to remind you that if you give at that great big level, we will give you a lifetime membership to ODX, which means you can see every single conference for free for the rest of your life that I do. If it's online, even if it's a ticketed event, you get to see those things for free and all the other things that go with it. So please consider giving the very best that you can today because we need to do some big things.
Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, listen, if you again are joining us on any platform other than ODX, then we will see you next week. And with that, guys, we are about to go behind the veil to hear more from this download, this fresh revelation from Pastor Troy. So stick with us if you're on ODX and we'll see you in a minute.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.